Lights, camera, action. Welcome to
the Month of Movies podcast for December 2017.
You got really excited. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And this year I decided to watch 100 movies of movies that I own that I haven't watched since I bought them.
And I made a list of 24 movies that I should have saw by now. And I might ruin it, the movies, because I assume everybody has seen them. October I saw three. So this month I only watched one movie out of the 24.
And I saw it already.
Yeah, and that was Rocky.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Rocky...
I was guessing. I don't remember what you watched.
If you haven't seen Rocky, I might ruin it for you. But not right now.
Yeah, and then...
And then all the other movies we saw
throughout the month.
And also, we have this thing that still exists as of recording this podcast called MoviePass. And it's $9.95 a month. And you can see movies in the theater... one a day, and you can't see 3D or lounge seating or ultra screen. But other than that, you can watch whatever movies you want. So we've gone to the theater more this month than we normally do.
Yeah.
But there were a couple movies that came out that didn't play around here, so we didn't get to see them.
Motherfuckers.
But so we'll have this month and the last couple. We probably see more movies in the theaters than we did the entire podcasts added together.
Oh shit! I thought it was Brad. I had a
Brad.
Yeah. I had a friend that he's like, these are the movies I saw this year or this past year, and it was like he saw a shit ton of movies in the theaters. Oh, maybe it was Devin. And it was like a whole bunch of movies in the theaters, and it was like someone responded, "Wow, hope you have a movie pass." I do. I'm like, oh, thank God, because that would have cost him.
Yeah, I saw five movies in the theater this month.
He could have bought a car, I think, if all the movies he saw in the theaters. But I could be wrong. Plus, if it's the same person, he lives in California, I'm sure.
So they're more than $11, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think it's like $15 a movie there.
Oh, 46. 46 movies. Anyways, we're off track. So I'll start. Oh boy, should I start?
Well, I can start.
Okay.
The first movie I saw was Rocky.
Because I was gonna say I'm not gonna ruin it yet. First movie. Well, I was gonna say Rocky. I watched more movies than you, but a lot of them are in
groups
anthology.
Yeah.
Like half of them.
So Rocky is about a boxer, played by Sylvester Stallone, and he isn't that good. And he's not the brightest either.
He's like in the minor leagues of boxing.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember what happens. Like, he is boxing and practicing and stuff like that, and then this big league guy, that doesn't happen early in the movie.
I don't fucking even remember.
So this big league guy, he's like, oh, the Italian Stallion, I like that name. I think a lot of people will come and watch me fight the Italian Stallion because it's a good name. So he offers to do this championship fight against Rocky, whose nickname is Italian Stallion. And so he starts preparing and getting ready for this big fight, you know, like boxing the meat and chasing chickens and shit.
Oh, shit. The first one was Apollo Creed?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Did you watch the other ones?
No. I don't know. I watched this movie in 2014.
Okay.
Oh, well, you're talking about it. I'll pull it up.
Yeah. So he is training for this big fight, and he meets this girl that he has a crush on that works in the pet store.
Adrian
Peterson. Just kidding.
Is that a football guy?
Yeah. No, her name's Adrian, and she... is shy and doesn't want to date him, but her brother,
you little piece of shit.
So like, yeah, you should. And then like eventually she goes out with him and they start connecting and he falls in love with her and whatnot. And then it leads up to the final fight or the final act of the movie, which is the fight. And Rocky's like getting the shit beat out of him. Uh-oh. What happened? And then, like,
I don't know what you just stopped talking.
He's getting the shit beat out of him, and they're like, okay, you should call it. He's like, no, there's no way you can win. He's like, no, I'm going to do this. And he just fucking fights to the end, and he makes it all 7 rounds? How many were 12 rounds?
I want to say 15, but that can't be right.
Right. However many rounds is the max of rounds in boxing. So he makes it that long.
Siri, how many rounds in boxing? I don't have an iPhone.
So the whole point is that he's going to go all the way. He's going to go all the way. Even if he loses, he's going to go all the way. And after the fight gets done, everyone wants to interview him. But he's looking for Adrienne because he loves her more. And that's the movie.
Yeah.
Did I forget something?
I mean, why is it? Non-title fights can be any length of 12 rounds, but are typically 10 rounds or fewer. So 15 is way off.
Yeah. So I said 12. That's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, that's a non-title fight, which means... But
this it was a non-title fight.
But Apollo Creed is a big guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I did review this in March of 2014, so our third episode.
Yeah. I thought it was decent. I don't know. I'm not a big boxing guy.
Yeah, me neither.
So I gave it a 6.5.
I gave it a 7.5.
Oh, so you liked it more than me.
I'm sorry. It's my movie.
It is your movie. I borrowed your copy.
I did want to watch the other three or four or whatever there is on the box set, but I never got around to actually watching them, and then you said you were going to, and you didn't.
No, because I didn't care as much for the first one as I thought I was going to.
Yeah, I suppose that makes more sense. I don't know.
My kind of movie. It's not a bad movie, but it's not my kind of movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Football. Oh, actually, the first movie.
Football.
I don't know.
Because I said Adrian Peterson.
Is that a?
He's a football guy.
Yeah, I believe you. Actually, the first movie I was going to mention, dude. I'm a mess this month or this year, podcast wise. I watched a movie in November that I forgot to.
Should have started with that one.
Yeah, I didn't look at my list until just now. I watched a movie called Spider Baby that I borrowed from Jacob Heppelheim. Spider Baby, boy oh boy, that movie I was expecting to be a lot weirder.
Is it about babies or spiders?
Neither. Kind of spiders. Hold on to your. Goats. I'm going to explain.
Hold on to your goats.
So what happens is in this movie, man, I watched this 2 months ago. It feels like such a long time. This guy is taking care of these two girls and another a boy, and but they're all not like right in the head, because the movie starts off with this like mailman who's like delivering this message to this house. And he's like, oh, how do I get here? It's sort of comedic, I think, supposed to be. But he's trying to...
So what's it called? Boss Baby?
No, Spider Baby. and he like, the mailman goes to deliver it. And then, like, he sees, like, a window open. And like, he pops in the window and then he gets stuck. And one of the girls is like, she's playing the game of Spider. And
don't
she just
type that up.
She just like knifes, like takes knives.
Maybe
like,
I should type film after that because I don't want to see those pictures.
Is it a baby eaten by a spider? That's it right there.
I know over there, but not over here.
Oh,
the maddest story ever told.
But anyways, one of the girls plays a game called Spider, where she basically like throws a net on somebody and then like just takes knives and like drains their blood because it's a fun game. But what was happening was the mailman was delivering a message saying that the guy taking care of the children is unfit to raise them, so that they're going to have this couple come from the city and take care of the children. But then they're coming in to meet them, so they like sit down to dinner and stuff. But
apparently, that whole movie's on YouTube.
There you go. If you want to watch it, you can go check it out on YouTube. YouTube sponsor.
Posted by the author Full Horror. So it must be a public domain movie because it came out in 67.
I don't know. But anyways, the guy's trying to make it seem like he's a good parent to take care of, a good guardian, and he's trying to make sure the girls act normal, but they're all kind of a little deranged. And then it just gets into this weird fucking, like, it's one of those movies that a lot happened and not a lot happened at the same time. But if you've ever watched House of a Thousand Corpses, or ten, whatever, the House of the Corpses with Rob Zombie, Captain Spaulding, the guy in the old Rob Zombie's movies is dressed as a clown. He's a beard or whatever. He's in this movie as a kid, as a young kid, probably in his, like, teens or 20s. It's really weird looking. He's the bald guy who acts like a fucking dog person. I don't know. It was all right. It was recommended by a friend's coworker to me, so that's why I watched it. And I had a friend Jacob that had the movie, so I watched it. Overall, I gave it a 6. It was all right. If you want to watch it, it's on YouTube apparently, so you don't have to track down the DVD.
It says Spider Baby or The Maddest Story Ever Told.
Yeah, it's not that mad, but I have to say the girls that played the girls, the women that played the girls, because they're probably like 18, 19, pretending to be like 13-year-olds.
She looks a little older than a kid.
They were entertaining to watch. Like, their characters, they were entertaining, like, in that aspect. Like, they were doing a good, fun time acting as a bunch of weirdos. Yeah. I don't know. It was all right. I gave it a 6.
People who like this also liked House on Haunted Hill.
I could see that. It's got that same kind of feel. Should I dive into the Resident Evil universe?
Yeah, do the
Resident Evil, guys.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. That was like in the mid-90s, man. Pepsi points. get vertical. Resident Evil. Okay, so they made 6 of these movies.
It was based on a video game.
Based on the video game. Loosely inspired by the video game, I would probably say. But it boy oh boy, I'm gonna probably ruin these movies for you, because it's not like you watch it and they go, we're gonna make a sequel. It's almost like they said, I got an idea, here's chapter 1, here's chapter 2. Like, it all kind of flows together in some sort of weird monstrosity, and it just gets weirder and weirder each movie. So, to start off with, we have the first movie, Resident Evil, came out in like 2001.
2002.
What?
2002.
That doesn't sound right.
March of 2002.
Oh, March. Okay, so, alright, that makes more sense. Because I remember being...
You saw it for your birthday,
probably. I remember being a freshman in college. We saw it during Easter break, I think. I'm usually really bad at remembering character names, but I remember Alice is the main character, Mila Jovovich, or however you pronounce her name, from Fifth Element. She plays Alice, a character that wakes up in this abandoned mansion, and she doesn't have any memory of what's going on. But we all know what's happening because we can see it from a viewer's perspective, that there's this office that is like working on this corporation that's working on this virus, and it escapes, it breaks, and everyone turns into zombies, and this computer program that is a security device in this corporation starts murdering people to stop the virus from escaping. But this team breaks into the mansion and takes Alice in as like kind of like a hostage type, not hostage, but like as a witness type thing, saying, we need to figure out what happened down there, which because the corporation is below her house. So they go down into what's known as the Hive to try to figure out what happened, but then the computer is like using all these laser grids and all this crazy shit to try to stop what was going on. Where are my notes? I want to mention this for all the Resident Evil movies first off. Headshots. They mention this right away, saying they realize, oh my god, you have to shoot them in the head or like sever their spinal column from their brain. Like massive damage to the brain or like whatever.
Yeah, like right? Basic
like zombie a zombie. Stuff. This movie and the subsequent 5 sequels afterwards people will shoot zombies in the chest, they'll fly back, they'll knife them, they'll kick them, they'll do all sorts of things that shouldn't kill them because they should damage the head or brain. But it somehow, I guess, works. Like, it's a rule they lay down immediately and never fucking follow. Now, the notes I have is we meet Alice, and, also we find out she's genetically altered. But they go down there to figure out what happened to get the cure, and then they gotta get out of there in so much time, otherwise they'll get locked in there and they'll die in there forever. So there you go. They kind of escape barely. A bunch of them die. So on and so forth. Alright, there's the movie. Alright. I think I gave this one a 7. I don't know why I ranked it so high. It's not as good as I remember it being.
Because it's the best one.
It's not the best one. That's the sad part. Then comes the second movie. Resident Evil Apocalypse. Now, when they make movies, I'd appreciate... I'm okay with them not using numbers because that's like, oh, they're just going
to
keep
adding
numbers.
Need to see the other one to see this one.
Well, you do for these.
Then they should have numbered them.
And also, I've seen like some video games, like the .hack sign video games, at least the sequels, like the names, they go in alphabetical order. So at least if you put it on your DVD rack, it's not like... A, E, O,
they almost B. did that.
Almost did it. It's
cause
A,
like,
E, A,
the fourth
H, R,
one,
F.
The fourth one is like the second one.
Yeah. Anyways.
If you disregard the fourth movie, they are in order. If you use
the T. So, Resident Evil Apocalypse, number 2. What happens is after this whole thing happened in the hive that was below the mansion, now Raccoon City has become infected. This is basically, it kind of take, like, if you follow the video games, this would take place kind of around number 3, where the city is like just overrun with zombies. And Jill Valentine is there, and Nemesis is there. If you guys know what that means, if you don't, Google it. It's fun. Notes. So I wrote down for Resident Evil Apocalypse. They test the virus on the city. Now, if you follow the Resident Evil stuff in the comics, or in the, not in the comics, but in the video games, in the second video game, there is a Sherry Birkin, who's a small child, and her father's a scientist, William Birkin. And he is using his little daughter to... He's trying to find a cure to fix a problem that she has in her life, and then that's kind of where they start weaponizing the virus. Now, that happens in the movie where there's a girl that they're trying to save. The scientist is like, hey, Alice and Jill, I need you to help me get my daughter out of the city because she didn't get out of the city. I'm a scientist. I'm trying to help fix her. And you're like, oh, what's your name? Oh, I'm Dr. Ashford. And like, if you know the Resident Evil games, the Ashford games, the Ashfords are in Resident Evil Code Veronica, where it's a twin brother and sister, and it's slightly incestuous. Now, why would you name a father and daughter that? I don't know. Sorry, that's just me looking, poking into things. But in that, there's a big nemesis creature who is actually one of the characters who got mutated from the first movie. And then the escape out of the city from a helicopter as they're bombing
escape
the city.
From the city.
Alice dies as a main character, and you're like, oh, I guess she's not going to matter anymore. But then she comes back to life as a clone, but still remembers everything that happened to her. And that's how they end the second movie. And you go like, oh, okay, that makes sense, right? Right?
Yeah, sure.
Resident Evil Extinction. That's the third one. In this, they explain the world is dying because the virus, they didn't contain it in Raccoon City. And so it started killing off all the plants and vegetation and stuff. So they end up going to Las Vegas, for some reason, because they hear about they're heading across the country because they hear that there is a there are survivors in Alaska, and they have a cure and all that stuff. They're like, you know, the usual beacon of hope for people. But then Las Vegas, this is when, from the first Resident Evil game, the Tyrant, one of the characters becomes the Tyrant, and just jumps in the movie. And then we find out Alice has psychic powers, where she can, like, do things with her mind, like stop fire from happening, or just exploding random things.
They're just like, she can't do enough in this movie.
Nope. There's a character whose name is Kmart, because that's where they found her. And like, don't you have a real name? Yeah, but that, like that, I had a name in my previous life, but that's not how the world is anymore.
And that's like they tried to rip off Zombieland because they call him by the cities they found him.
This came out before Zombieland, I believe.
Well, it makes more sense calling someone Memphis or Alexandria or something.
Kmart. So then eventually they find a hideout. Apparently they're one of the hideouts that the evil Umbrella Corporation is taking place in is in Las Vegas, like basically right below their feet. So then they get a whole
This did come out before Zombieland.
They get a whole bunch of the Alice clones.
Tallahassee, Columbus, Wichita, Little Rock. Those are the names that they had. Sorry.
Oh, that's the sign. They. She finds as they're heading to where the scientists are. She finds the dead trough of Alice clones that they left for they. She finds them all.
Does she fight any that turned into zombies?
No, that should have happened. That'd been great.
I mean, it's a clone. It could probably still become a zombie,
well,
right?
Well, she's her blood has part of the virus in it, so she can't really be infected. Can't turned. But she also
she
has,
can't
like,
get turned.
Yeah, she can't get turned. And the movie kind of ends with the survivors flying off to Alaska. This is the part that I don't like about these movies, is that
they have like a cliffhanger type ending,
and then when
they don't pick it up. Where we're left off. Just like, yeah, that happened, but we didn't want to put that in the movie.
Yeah. So, Resident Evil Afterlife is the fourth one.
Yeah.
This starts with a bunch of the Alice clones are attacking one of the Umbrella headquarters by going in there and shooting shit up. And then she fucking, like, one of the villains, like, just blows them all away and stuff. And one of the Alice is, like, just basically makes a ground tremor and just, like, shoots rocks and stuff everywhere. It's pretty crazy because I'm like, this started with just I'm in a house and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Now that there's psychic clones everywhere. then the Alice that we actually care about, the one that's been, like, on the run since she came back from the dead in the second movie, whatever. She lands her airplane. She lands a small airplane in this in Alaska, and she like just finds like aircrafts everywhere and stuff. And she runs into Claire, who was in the third one, Claire Redfield, but she has this jewel on her chest from the fifth Resident Evil game. It's like this like sort of beetle thing attached to her chest that kind of makes them forget things, and like they're under someone's control. So then she's like, "Hey, Claire, come with me. We gotta go find the Arcadia," because she's like she went to Alaska for Arcadia, or the place I call Arcadia in Alaska, whatever. And she's like, "There's nothing here." Well, as they're flying back to California or whatever, they see people that need help on a building, so they land an airplane on top of a building, which turns out to be a prison.
Why did you say that with a question?
Because you don't know that until like you go inside and go, I guess we should have known that. I don't know.
Like a prison?
Yeah. Oh God, I'm gonna have to take a break after this one. They land on the roof of the building because then when they are going down, they find a whole bunch of maybe it's not a prison, but like a large jail.
Well, they said jail.
But then they find Chris Redfield who's been locked up, and there's like a bunch of asshole prisoners, not prisoners, but a bunch of asshole guys, and oh boy. But as I was watching this movie, I'm like, there's moments where bad guys were like, if you play Resident Evil 5, there's this big guy with a hood with a giant axe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he fights them in the showers. But every time he swings the axe, they do a slow motion, like, duck, and they almost get hit by the axe, and this axe just kind of swings past the camera and stuff.
So I'm it's like Zack Snyder.
But I'm like, this looks really, like, the effects look really shitty, and like,
oh, is green this screen. 3D?
Yeah, I realized this is one of the, I'm pretty sure this is one of the 3D ones. They wrote bad effects, all in caps, and they wrote 3D, question mark? But then they
just CG'd it.
Yeah,
but then they had to like bring down the quality when they turned it 2D.
Yeah, or maybe, yeah, or they just flattened it. Went, here you go, done. But then they find out that the boat, there's a boat in the harbor called Arcadia, and that's where they're heading to. So then they go off to the boat, and then there's a whole bunch of people that get kidnapped, and they're inside the boat, and it's a whole villain fight thing there. Dude, like,
it's a whole villain fight.
Like, I wrote down key points of the plot, and it's even like I'm forgetting what's happening because they're so, like, they get so fucking off the wall. Like, by this point, I'm like, they're still making more of these.
Yeah,
but that's then like
the halfway point.
No, this is the first four. But then I took a break for a little bit, and then went back to the other two. But the other two like are a lot more straightforward, but still like, what the fuck is happening? This started off as a video game. That was like a walk around, figure out puzzles, and then we have airplanes, and then people blowing up holes in drains and fucking tanks and goddamn it. Oh, I didn't even score any of those.
No,
the first Resident Evil.
I figured you were gonna like synopsis them all and then just say.
Well, I can. Do you want to do the last two?
Yeah, let's all right. Clean it up.
Then Resident Evil Retribution. This starts off. Picks up almost exactly.
The poster says evil goes global.
Yeah. Because this is. So, this one
looks like it's the worst one made, according to this rating online here.
Look at my little note right there. I fucking said that. I wrote in parentheses, worst one.
But I can't say that because they don't have a rating for the newest one because it came out in 2017.
But anyways, so they're on the boat at the end of the movie, and you go, okay, here we go. I think, and also at the end of the movie, he injects her with this virus that takes away her special powers. This might have happened at the end of the third one, I'm not sure. Either way, she gets injected and loses her powers. This one starts off on the boat.
It is the worst one.
And the intro credits, they're showing an action scene in reverse and slow motion, so you see her coming up out of the water, like she was falling in the water and getting shot at, and then lands up in this thing, and then there's like these people like reverse shooting and running backwards, like a whole 1 or 2 minute long reverse action scene. Then,
like, they shot it forward and played it in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus Christ!
And then it goes into a then. I can't remember what happens first. I can't remember if like they play it in normal but they show this normal world where Alice has a child and a husband and a bunch of, and then she has like a normal life and stuff like that, and then all these zombies run out and start terrorizing the town, and you realize, oh, this is a simulation in one of the umbrella facilities that is underground in Antarctica. Underwater, I should say, in Antarctica. Then it shows the scene that you saw at the beginning of reverse in normal ways, and then they get to the umbrella hideout. thing and
I'm glad I didn't watch this.
And break the her fake daughter out because her daughter's like, "Mommy, it's you." And she's like, "That's not me, but I'll pretend because there's a little deaf girl who can't talk." And she's like, she sees Alice.
How does she say mommy? Oh, it signs
the sign
it.
Yeah, you can see that on the podcast. I sign language, mommy, very poorly.
And she's I didn't like, even know you knew how to sign mommy.
And then, and it's basically them just trying to escape the simulation, and there's clones everywhere, of course.
Attack of the clones.
But, like, because there's, like, Michelle Rodriguez from the first movie, she's back. She's like, "You're dead," and all this other stuff like that. And Barry Burton from the first Resident Evil game, he's there. He's got his Magnum and stuff. It's a fun thing. But at the very end, after, like, she gets to Wesker, and he's like, "I need your help." And, like, he injects her, like, and gives her her powers back. He's like, "I need your help to save the world." And it zooms out, and you see the fucking world is demolished. And there's zombies everywhere, and all sorts of creatures from the Resident Evil games. And, like, okay, so I guess Wesker is like, "I need help with all Wesker's like the main villain in the games."
Okay.
And the movies. He's in, like, almost all of them. He's like, "We need to save the world." Like, okay. So the next one is just going to be like Umbrella and Alice just fighting off zombies. No. Once again, the movie starts where Alice is out on her own and she gets a message. And they kind of explain a little bit, saying, "Oh yeah, he tricked me. He gave me my powers back and then tricked me into going with them, and then, like, he backstabbed her," but they didn't say how or why or whatever. I guess he was supposed to kill her. I don't know. But at least...
Is the world still fucked?
Oh yeah, the world is okay. Straight up fucked. And yeah.
At least they didn't just go, "No, that wasn't...
Well, that's actually the plot of the movie, is the computer from the first movie, and shows up subsequently throughout other movies.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to Alice and says, "I need your help." And she's like, "Why should I trust you? You tried killing us numerous times." She's like, "Because I'm supposed to save... Like, I'm supposed to stop all these things from happening, but they're going to kill all the humans in the world, because I guess the whole reason why they made the virus is that they'll kill off all the humans and sort of, like, do a whole, like, restart of the world."
Oh, yeah.
But, like, of course, all the resident... Or all the Umbrella Corporation, like, higher-ups are in stasis underground, so that they'll wake up years later after everything's died off and they can repopulate the world under their own command, like a New World Order type thing. But in this movie, at least, they showed you a little bit at the beginning explaining, like, how Umbrella Corporation started, how the virus got started. That was kind of neat, because you finally saw background for the virus and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, she's like, "You need to get back, because according to my calculations, in 48 hours, all the remaining humans in the world will be dead." So, she, according to her calculations, in 48 hours, and then 48 hours starts. And I'm like, how do you know exactly how this is going to happen? And even, like, by the end of the movie, it counts down to the second. You're like, no, by this point, the people, like, if there's, like, 10 seconds left before all the humans are dead, there's no way to repopulate. Because they'll be, like, down right. to two people or whatever.
Right. So that's not how math works.
But anyways, so they have to get... There's apparently the cure. Back in Raccoon City, from the first movie, they go way back down to the hive to get the antidote, and if they break it, it'll go airborne, and then like
instantly, it'll stop, in a matter of seconds,
it'll stop all of the virus from happening. So, which is like, oh, that's a bad thing, because that'll kill you, Alice, because that's in your blood, the virus is in your blood, and you'll die, but then all the zombies will die along with it and save the humans. So she has to get there, and of course she runs into a bunch of other characters. The stone arm dude from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
He's in, like, all of the movies. Like, he's another one of the villains. Yeah. But he's, like, he is on a fucking crazy revenge quest. And, like, this holy, like, this, like, oh, God wanted it this way and this way and stuff like that. And you... It's a whole weird thing. Oops. History of Umbrella. And I guess Like, and she's trying to get to the end to save everybody. And Umbrella's like, I don't want you to save everybody. And then there's a few, like, nice little Easter eggs. Not Easter eggs, but a nice little other surprises in there. If you really want to watch them, because I'm not going to explain them to you, because it won't matter. And if you do want to see them, then you'll be like, fuck. So overall, the first Resident Evil movie, I gave it a 7, because it was fun. It was fine. Resident Evil Apocalypse, number 2, I gave it a 7. The third one, Extinction, I gave it a 6.5. The fourth one, Afterlife, I gave it a 7.5, which, because that was probably my favorite one.
Afterlife was?
Yeah. Retribution, I gave it a 6, because it didn't really, there wasn't a lot going on
it's like,
with that one.
For a movie called Retribution, it's the worst one.
Yeah. And then the final chapter, I gave it a 6.5, because it felt like the budget was there, but not a lot of forethought.
Yeah.
Because there's one part where, like, God damn it. Because she's riding a motorcycle that needs to be started with a handprint. So she cuts off a dude's hand and just carries his hand around.
To use his motorcycle?
To use his motorcycle.
Jesus Christ. It's
pretty great. Pretty great. 6.5 for that movie. So overall, I didn't do an average, but I'm just going to say probably 7.
I was going to say, oh.
6.5, 7, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed it would be.
So,
doing the math.
So that's Resident Evil. That's the Resident Evil movie. That's the live action Resident Evil movie.
Box set.
I didn't watch them this month, but there is a 3 movie set of CG movies, which I have.
I wonder if those fit in with these or if they're their own thing.
They're their own thing. I think
they probably fit with the video games more.
Yeah, they fit with the video games more. I watched one of them many, many years ago. But it's like a lot, because like a lot of the characters you play as in the games, like Chris Redfield and Leon Kennedy, Claire Redfield, Jill Valentine, like those characters, and Ada Wong shows up in one of them. But those characters, most of them, like Jill Valentine is like the most in it. Chris is only like in one or two of them. Leon is like in one of them. Barry's in like one of them. Claire's in like 3 of them. But like a lot of the main characters from the games don't really show up. They show up once in a while and you're like, oh, I think that's Leon because his hair. Yeah, they say Leon. All right, well, he died. All right. Guess we're not going to see him again. But in the CG movies, like, the main characters in this is, it's like Leon and Claire. And then like, oh, this one's like Chris and, you know, like, some of that. So, it's very, and they look a lot like
the games.
The game, like the sequences, like the cutscenes in the movies and stuff, and the video games and stuff, so.
Alright.
And those games, like I said, the first one started off so normal and, like, creepy. And then John Brunage and I have been playing the 6th one. I know it came out, like, 5 or 6 years ago. But that game, man, I fucking was flying in fire jets and shooting tanks and riding motorcycles. It's not, I think they tried fitting the game towards the movies because they were doing well, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, no more Resident Evil out of me.
All right, so the next movie I watched, since I watched Rocky, I'm like, you know what? I'll watch The Wrestler.
Same.
They're not the same.
Why?
Wrestling, you use your whole body.
Oh, shit.
But this is an Aaron Aronofsky film.
Darren Aronofsky. Aaron Aronofsky.
I probably did. Darren Aronofsky. Aaron Aronofsky.
Aaron.
His most famous movie is probably Black Swan or Requiem for a Dream. Yeah. But I haven't seen this before, so I decided to watch it. And I don't know much about wrestling, but I think this is more... He's a famous wrestler, but it's more of like the backyard wrestling kind, because they use, you know, they're bleeding and shit, because that's not what, you know, most wrestling is. So there's just like full fight, like stuff that you would go see in person. Yeah, because they're like bloody and gross and stuff.
Yeah, local.
Yeah, because I think they call that style of wrestling backyard wrestling.
Okay.
Because real wrestling is pinning people, and that's it. You know, like high school wrestling and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, okay. Sorry, yes. It's like WWE wrestling, not like...
Well, it's different than WWE, but it's closer to WWE than
than like
actual wrestling.
Yeah,
but because they do, you know, they use glass things and
like the hidden.
There's a scene where he's like picking glass out of them. It's like, oh,
I was
so like
the part where he has a taper on his wrist and then like he peels one layer back and
there's a knife
to like cut himself.
Yeah. So I mean, it's fake, but it's also like draining.
Yeah,
but he's
it's a physical, very physical.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's fake. That doesn't mean it's not a fuckload of work. So this guy, he's getting up there in age, and he wants to be a big. He wants to still keep doing this for a living. And then he takes, you know, basically drugs, steroids, and shit, so he can like work out and get buff. And then he has a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, you shouldn't wrestle anymore. He's like, oh, shit. So then he, after that, he tries to get back together with his daughter. At the same time, he tries going out with this girl who is a stripper that he frequents a lot. So he's trying to, like, move on with his life.
He's trying to, get a life.
Yeah. So then he ends up getting a job at the deli counter at the supermarket. And you just follow his, like... You see it from the beginning, like, how important wrestling is to him. And then once he's not allowed to do his favorite thing in the entire world, like, how he can adapt. And it's very sad.
Yeah.
Especially with the scene where he goes to, like, do autographs and stuff, and he looks around, and he sees all the other wrestlers, like, in wheelchairs and stuff like that. They're just sitting in a gym to take pictures and autographs. And he's like, oh, shit. I'm not going to give the ending away. But I thought it was really fucking good.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.5. I liked it a lot. It was really good. So I'm going to go on to my next movie.
Well, I was going to say one thing to go with that is I heard, I don't know how true this is, but I heard from people that this is one of the most realistic wrestling movies because Mickey Rourke. Actually, he quit acting for a while and became a wrestler.
Oh, did he?
I believe he tried, low ranked wrestling and stuff like that. I think I'm pretty sure. It could be wrong. And also, a lot of the wrestlers that are in the movie, like that he wrestles against, are actual real wrestlers.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
I'm almost certain.
Yeah,
but like the guy, like when he's like. You know, like when he's like patting him on the back, like, yeah, good job tonight, like in the ring and stuff, I remember someone saying, oh, yeah, that's this person. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I didn't know that, but.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I watched it many, many years ago. It's not on my list. I haven't watched it in the last couple of years, but I liked it, but it's probably in my lower half of Aronofsky movies. But yeah.
I still have a bunch I have to watch.
He's one of my favorite directors though, so
yeah.
So it's like for me to say it's in the bottom half still means good things.
Yeah, because even his worst movie is better than the best Resident Evil movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Because as good as Pi is, the more movies this guy cranks out, I'm like, that one's getting lower and lower.
So the next movie I watched was, I guess people can say it's a guilty pleasure movie because I enjoyed it. I watched was Baywatch, the new Baywatch movie with The Rock. So I was, you know, I've been on the fence. I'm like, do I want to see this or not? Yeah, I'll watch it. Because in the trailers and everything, I cannot stand Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Like, there's roles where I've seen him in that he's good, but in this role, he just plays the asshole character. That's his role. So basically, Baywatch, based on the TV show, the movie's based on the TV show, The Rock is in charge of a group of lifeguards in California that you know, watch the bay.
The bay. Lifeguards.
And they do, at the beginning, they're doing a training for, not training, they're doing an audition for job openings. Like, so they're like, we're going to hire a bunch of new lifeguards for duty, and they got to go through, like, rigorous, oh my God, I can't. Obstacle courses and CPR training, like all that stuff, like to show that they are qualified to do this. Because this isn't like, oh, I'm just going to sit on the beach all day. I don't have to do anything. So they like go through the routine and they do auditions. And so you see a bunch of the characters trying out to be in the group. There's like this, I don't want to say fat guy, but he's like the fat guy.
Yeah.
He wants to audition. He's got the hots for the blonde girl. And she's already on the crew. So he's like, oh, I got to audition in front of her. And there's...
I hope he talks like that, too.
There's...
I'm a lifeguard.
There is a scene in the movie with him that I could have done without. Because there's a dick joke where he's like, he gets aroused, so he's got a boner. And they're like, don't let her see that. He's like, oh, shit. So he fucking dives onto this wooden lounge chair face down. And his dick goes through, but it's still, like, within his shorts. But he's, like, lodged in the chair. So they have to, like, get the dick off, or, like, get his dick off the chair or out of the chair or whatever. But I was like, that, I didn't need to see that. But anyway, it's him and then, oh, shit. Hang on. Alexandria Daddario is auditioning.
Yeah.
To be in the Baywatch. Zac Efron's character, he plays a surfer guy who, like, won medals in the Olympics and shit like that. And he's so full of himself, but he got in trouble for... Or he didn't get in trouble, but he got... he was famous Olympian, and something happened that kind of ruined his career. So they're like, hey, you should go try to be in Baywatch. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'm here to be in Baywatch. And they're like, no, you gotta audition. He's like, nah, I've won gold medals. I don't need, you know, I don't need to just prove myself.
Yeah.
And The Rock's like, yeah, you do. I don't care who you are. And basically the guy who's in charge of the Baywatch people, I don't know his fucking title. But anyway, he's like, no, you should get... you should get him on the crew because then more people come to the beach because you got a celebrity as a lifeguard. But he's like, yeah, but people have been working years and years to try to get on this crew. And then there comes an instance where he tries to help somebody and just fucks it up even more. Zac Efron just fucks things up constantly.
Mm-hmm.
The overall plot of the movie is... Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on the plot. There's like an undercover drug dealing thing that's happening on the beach.
Yeah.
And that's like underlying through the whole movie. And then at the end, you know, oh, this is who the drug pin, whatever. The drug pin, kingpin person. But
the drug pin.
It made me laugh a bunch out loud. They made jokes compared to, they're like, oh yeah, this is like, there's a scene where they're sitting around for lunch talking about shit that happened on the beach. And it's just bizarre stories that happened on the show.
Yeah.
Like, shit like that doesn't happen. Oh, yeah. Like, every week. And they're like, da-da-da. And it goes, this doesn't seem like real life. This seems like a TV show or something. But it was just funny the way they're explaining some of the episodes of the show. It's just like, it's so fucking bizarre. Like, this would happen in real life.
So the actual character names are the characters from the show.
Right. But then at the end, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler, because Rock plays Hasselhoff's character.
Mitch Buchanan.
Yeah, Mitch Buchanan. But then at the end, he shows up as Mitch Buchanan.
Oh, I saw
and that. Like,
he's credited as the mentor.
Right, but his name, he's like, this is going to be confusing if you got the same name. He says something like that. But yeah, because the blonde chick is CJ.
And well, then, it's Carolyn Jean and it's CJ. Yeah. CJ Parker.
And then Summer, who was...
Summer Quinn.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what... She was the blonde girl. Well, I guess they're mostly all blonde girls. In the TV show, I'm trying to remember her name.
Nicole Eggert?
Yeah, that's it. Nicole Eggert. And then the fat kid was like... what's her face's son, I think, in the show. She's the black girl in this one. Stephanie Holden. Because yeah. She was that skinny brunette girl in the TV show, but she's a black girl in this. And then I want to say on the TV show...
Stephanie Holden? Yeah, right there. Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Ronnie was the little kid in the show.
No idea.
But anyway, it was entertaining. Aside from the dick jokes, I could have done with those. I feel like every comedy movie is trying to shove dick jokes in it now. Yeah,
they're just shoving dicks in your
mouth. Just shoving dicks where they don't belong. Me too. Sorry.
Jesus.
See, even movies are getting fucking into this movement now.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Because you don't need to shove dicks in these movies. Dick jokes.
Oh.
They don't belong. Sorry. I gave it an 8. I should have wrote notes because I didn't write any notes.
I thought you were getting so much lower.
No, I liked it a lot. I was surprised by how good it was.
Oh, I heard the CG fire was bad. You told me that.
The CG fire was horrible, but I don't know what CG... I don't know what real fire looks like on water. So I feel like that would look bizarre too. Like, if you had oil or gas on water and it was on fire, that would probably look horrible too. Like, it's just something you're not accustomed to.
Yeah.
Like, if someone cuts their arm off, all we have is movies to compare it to, and like real life might look faker than
a real arm that's cut off looks not real when
right you see it. So maybe this fire was real looking because I've never seen fire on water before.
I mean, Jaws ride.
I guess the Jaws ride. That's also that was also fake.
In real life, though?
Yeah. I don't know.
Jaws ride. I didn't even finish saying it. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, the Jaws ride. As soon as you said Jaws, I'm like, yeah, the ride. Because I was thinking the same thing as you.
I think almost all of the movies I saw...
Plus, the girls are pretty hot in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rated R for some, like, what was it? Crude?
No. Boner jokes.
It didn't say boner jokes. It
should have said boner jokes. Just dicks.
No, but there's like a joke, like, there's a guy who dies that they suspected was murdered. So they break into the morgue and try to see if they can find, like, where he got injected with this thing that killed him. And The Rock makes Zac Efron look underneath his ball sack in the taint area to see if you can find like an injection hole. And he basically does that just so you can take a picture of Zac Efron's face that close to a dick.
Oh.
And that was the nudity in the movie.
Of all things.
I know. I was like, that's not the nudity people want to see who watch Baywatch.
Yeah, they don't see The Rock.
They want to see The Rock cock.
No.
Just kidding. All right, so the next movie I saw...
I can't find it. Sorry, I was trying to find... It was something like graphic nudity or something.
It was like... Let's see if it's over here yet.
I thought it was like... it was like graphic or intense nudity.
Yeah, graphic nudity.
Graphic nudity. Maybe because... No.
Because his face is by a dick. But it was obviously a fake dick. But still. And it was the guy who played Oscar on The Office.
Oh.
Got to see his tiny little fake dick. The next movie I saw, you also saw.
Yeah.
And it was the first one we saw in the theater. Almost
the rest of the movies, except for one of you, we saw together.
Yeah. It was the first movie we saw in December with the movie pass.
Yes.
And that was Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
Completely different direction from Baywatch.
Yeah. This is a coming-of-age movie.
It's a coming-of-age movie about a girl who goes to Catholic school.
Yeah.
And
she wants
and it's her senior year.
Yeah.
So she's basically trying to figure out what she wants to do with her life and what she's going to do after she gets done with school.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also... this is where she starts getting interest in boys.
Or not so much first getting interested, like, but
well,
like,
there's
first
like,
getting involved with boys.
Right, because she goes to a Catholic school and they're separated, so she's in an all-girls school.
Yeah.
But then she finds out that they can go do activities with the all boys school. She joins the play, the theater department, to be in a play to hook up with this one guy that she has the hots for.
Mm-hmm. But also one of the things in the movie is like she's trying to figure out which college to go to, but she's not a good student. And her family is not well off.
Right. They're on the other side of the tracks, which they make it as a joke, but it's real.
Yeah. Also, this takes place, like, right after... Like, I feel like... Because the father got let go from his job.
Right. This takes
place... I suppose that's
kind of... In the early
2000s. 2002 or 3.
Yes.
2002 into 2003.
Yeah.
Because the New Year's...
So it's because it was after 9/11.
But I'm like... But
it was
like
the, yeah, it was the year after 9/11.
But like,
because they were mentioning because she wanted to go to New York and like it's not safe there.
Yeah. But like I guess they don't tell you right away that the father doesn't have a job. But I'm like, but they don't really. I don't know if they really remember say why. But I feel like maybe 9/11 had something to do with it.
Well, he blame worked 9/11. For like yeah, always blame 9/11. It has something to do with tech. Work.
Yeah.
He was a tech guy.
Maybe he was the tech for the...
Yeah, he worked in the plane company. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say the towers, and he's like, well, don't have to keep those servers up.
Yeah, but they're in California.
Well, that's right. Shit. I don't know.
They're in Syracuse or something, right?
Sacramento. She wants to get out of Sacramento.
Which is the capital, right?
Fuck if I know. I didn't spend to high school in a long time.
But anyway,
it was good.
There's times you laughed, there's times you cried.
Yeah,
for a coming of age film about a girl, it's kind of weird that I can kind of relate even though we're boys.
We were the youngest people in the theater.
Yeah. But it was funny because people were laughing at a lot of the same stuff I laughed at.
Yeah.
Which, like, never happens because I laugh at weird things in movies and I get mad when people laugh at stupid things in movies. But the audience we saw it with were, like, in the same wavelength as us.
Same boat as us.
Like, I mean, there was probably, like, one or two times I laughed that no one else laughed. Yeah. But it wasn't, like, obscure.
You can't be eating those wafers. They're not consecrated.
Yeah, there's a lot of religious jokes, too. So, like, I went to summer school type class, CCD. So we know like a lot of the Christian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like some of the jokes some people might not get.
I think as long as you know, like, understand what Christianity is,
right?
It's
not like the main purpose of the film.
Oh, one of the things about the film though is that one of the main conflicts of the movie is that the daughter wants to do all these different things and be a free spirit, and her mother is really controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of moments where they are just not happy,
like,
with each other,
yelling and
So like
a lot of uncomfortable moments.
Yeah, it's a coming of age movie, but at the same time, the mother and daughter aspect is not healthy, and that kind of adds to a lot of the drama and stuff that happens. And it's there's moments where, like, I mean, in public, this is like a never possible thing, especially in a movie theater, but like, dude, man, there's moments where I was like, I wanted to just cry out loud. Especially with some of the characters like dealing with depression and stuff like that, it's like, fucking man, I know what boat you're in right now. It's like, God damn it. Like, her friend was so great of a character and like just a good person, and you're like, I want to be happy for her. And
yeah, person I work with was talking about how one of her favorite scenes when they're in the car together. Was it the car? And they're both in the car just crying. The friend and the girl. I don't remember. I could be wrong. But yeah, like,
I was always on Crash.
Yeah, the Crash Into Me played. One of my favorite lines is terrible, but he's like, let's play an emotion game. First one to cry wins.
Yes.
I was like, oh, shit.
Well, it was for theater, so it made sense, but like...
But then, like, people just started crying, and you could tell they were, like, digging deep into themselves to get themselves to cry.
First one to cry wins.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8.5.
I gave it an 8. I liked it a lot. acting was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
The next movie I saw, you also saw, was Spider-Man.
Spider-Man
Homecoming. So, if you've been listening to the podcasts the last couple months...
This podcast,
the last couple months, you might know that I'm getting sick of Marvel's...
movies.
I was going to say equation, but that's not the word I was looking for.
Formula?
Yeah, formula. It's kind of like an equation.
Yeah, just with science.
Marvel's formula going forward, how every single movie is starting to feel the same.
Yeah.
You have the really funny moments sprinkled throughout the whole movie, which kind of ruins some of the suspenseful movements. And I don't know. They just seem too bright for some of the scenes. And death happens. But they don't react, I don't know.
Realistically.
Like, hey, this person's dead. Oh, my God, they're dead. Okay. But they should care that these people are dead.
Yeah.
But anyway, because the last couple of months we watched Thor Ragnarok and Guardians 2, Doctor Strange. And I was pretty disappointed by most of those movies.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming, on the other hand, was, in my opinion, better than those movies.
Yeah.
But it still had its Marvel moments.
Yeah.
The basic premise of this movie is this is kind of like the sequel to Civil War.
Yeah, it's a sequel to a Captain America movie.
Yeah. Because that's where we first got introduced to this version of Spider-Man. This is like the third one in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And this version of Spider-Man's in high school, and he is a student. So you see him in class, and you see him as a student a lot more than you do in the other Spider-Man movies. At least we didn't have the origin story of Uncle Ben dying, him getting bit by a spider, and going through, hey, what can I do? The downside was that Tony Stark gave him the suit and all that shit, and now he's like, oh, I got all this tech I'm figuring out. And that's not what Spider-Man... like, Spider-Man in the comics, I don't really read that much, but it was more of him as an inventor trying to create shit.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, here's a whole bunch of shit you can now do.
Yeah, because the nice thing is...
because he's still a kid.
The nice thing is jumping into a Spider-Man movie where Spider-Man is already developed. He's already a character. He was doing stuff before Tony Stark gave him the suit. You're like, okay, so he should know how to handle himself. So it's not going to be that awkward thing where he doesn't understand how to do anything because he's just starting out. But then they give him all this stuff.
They do that anyway.
They give him all this stuff that he doesn't understand how to use because it's a very techie suit. So you go through that anyways. It's like saying, hey... I read the guest invite, so I already know your name is David. Okay. Anyways, just as you know, my name is David. Well, thanks for telling me, even though I already fucking knew this and I went through this process already.
Right.
It's just a different way of doing it, and it made me mad.
The elements of this origin story, the elements of it, were still there, even though it wasn't an origin story.
Yeah. Jason and I both... agreed. The best way to describe this movie is it felt like it was in the first half an hour, we're like, it feels like it's a sequel to a movie that doesn't exist.
Right.
Which, like you said, it's kind of like a Civil War sequel, but it's not because it feels like he's making references to all these things we didn't see because we didn't watch the original movie.
With that being said, the second half of the movie was really good. Once you got past the fake origin stuff, fake origin feeling stuff.
Once
you got into the character Vulture more, and once you got into like a lot of the other characters more, I liked a lot of that stuff. Like,
once it started getting to the Washington DC stuff, that's when it started picking up.
Yeah, which is more than halfway into the movie.
Yeah,
so I guess halfway point is not the right answer, but
it felt like that.
Yeah, I ended up giving it a 7.5.
I gave it,
which I feel like I was pretty generous.
I gave it a 7.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, like I said, it's better than the last four or five movies that Marvel came out with. Four, because I think five was Civil War. But yeah, it was better than the last four. And I'm hoping, I mean, even though this isn't the newest one, I'm hoping the two Marvel movies that come out, well, there's more than two that come out next year, I think, but
yeah. Infinity War and Black Panther in the next few months.
Yeah, are the next two that I know of as of this moment.
I believe Captain Marvel comes out in November.
Probably. But I'm hoping those two movies are better than this movie, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I still think that Winter Soldier is the best Marvel universe.
And you watch that one again. But
Second time watching it, I loved it just as much as the first time.
Yeah, Civil War.
Maybe even more because I wasn't like waiting for things to happen that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Where the second time I could just watch it and enjoy it knowing what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so different. It felt like a spy espionage type movie that happened to have superheroes in it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what... Especially in a day and age where there's way too many superhero movies, why do you want them all the same?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Because it makes money.
Right. I mean, Logan is an example of something different that worked, in my opinion. But anyway, I gave Spider-Man Homecoming a 7.5. Yeah. I don't want to get into talking about all this other shit we already did.
Yeah.
The next movie I saw was, I got a lot left. I want to get the fucking year right.
1925. Oh, shit. Sorry.
85. 1985 film, Santa Claus the Movie.
Oh.
I watched this one when I was a kid. Because this was, like, at the time, this was the movie that best explained Santa Claus to people. It's hard to explain because the movie itself doesn't feel like a lot happened, but it's like a studio exec said, hey, make a movie about Santa Claus. Like, make a movie about Santa. And they're like, okay. So they came out with this. It was like a weird take on the origin of Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this version, all the elves are a race of creatures that live in a place that looks like the North Pole. I forget what they call themselves, but it's some weird name that we know as elves. Santa Claus.
Oh, I thought you said that. I was like, that was the name of their species.
No, Santa Claus, back in whatever period he started in, used to make toys and give them to kids in the village. Like, he would make the trek to town and give little toys to kids. And the elves are like, we like his style. So they bring him to their village. This fucking alien-type village. I don't know. It's like a species, much like Dungeons and Dragons. So they bring them to this snow fortress. And they're like, we want you to make toys. We want you to give toys to all the kids in the world. Santa's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a lot of kids. They're like, yeah, but we want you to do it in one night. And he's like, that's impossible. There's like millions and billions of kids in the world. Like, yeah, but for you, time is endless. So you have all the time in the world, but to the rest of the world, it's one night. But to you, it's an eternity. So this makes me feel like this is the worst thing in my life. So he's like, okay. And basically makes the elves make toys for him to deliver to kids. And it shows it through the time periods. Like 16th century, delivering toys. 17th century, delivering toys. 18th century, delivering toys. And then it finally gets to the 20th century. And they're like, we got to make all these toys. And like, I found an efficient way. Like, what's his name? Dudley Moore?
Patch.
Dudley Moore's like, I got a better way to make toys. If we make a conveyor belt system and the machines can make the toys, it'll be faster. And da da da. And the other guy's like, no, we still got to make it by hand because it's craftsmanship and blah, blah, blah. So they do a trial and they make a bunch of toys. And Patch, Dudley Moore's character, wins. He makes the most toys. And they're like, okay, we're going your way. But then as the machine keeps making more toys, it gets faulty. And then the kids get all these toys that start breaking on Christmas Day. I'm like, uh-oh. So he fires Patch, and he's like, you're fired. Get out of here. We're going to get this other guy's the head elf and make the toys. And Patch goes to this giant corporation and says, I want to work for you and make toys and give them to kids. And he's like, what? You can't just give people toys. You got to sell them. You got to make money. And like, and that character is played by John Lithgow. Mm. He's the CEO of this company called BZ Toys. And it gets really fucking weird because there's candy canes that explode. And there's suckers that make kids fly. What? And it gets really bizarre. There were interesting parts of the movie. Like, okay, this is an interesting take on Santa, but very unbelievable. Because if someone said, hey, you can deliver toys and you can take as much time as you want delivering these toys because it's all going to be one night, I'd still fucking hate that. Because that's still millions of kids.
Yeah.
But the good news is he gets to live forever now because these elf creatures live forever. So now he gets basically becomes one of them.
Is that what the elf creatures look like?
No, that's the guy from Doctor Who.
Well, he was one of the elf creatures in the movie.
Oh, fuck. I just spilled my water. But I gave it a 5 because it wasn't anything great and it wasn't anything sucky. All
right.
And you talk about the next movie, but I didn't get my water spilled.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about that while you clean, get a towel. Oh, good. You're not missing much anyways. The next movie I watched was a movie called Cell, based on the Stephen King book.
The non-Jennifer Lopez one.
Yeah, the non-Jennifer Lopez movie. Based on the Stephen King movie with the same name.
Book, you mean. Based on the book, not the movie.
Whatever.
It's not based on the movie. It's based on the book.
Well, the movie was so bad, it felt like it could have been based on the movie. I guess what happens is John Cusack, whose character's name is Clay, he's at a Boston airport, and as he's, like, talking to his wife, who he hasn't seen in a long time, apparently. He's like, oh, I'm going to be home soon. Then his phone dies. So he's like, well, shit, I got to go take care of my phone and charge it. And he's like trying to find a place to charge it. And then while that's happening, everyone that's using their phone or talking on the phone or anything on the phone, they just fucking start going crazy and getting murdery or attacking each other. And basically just, like, start causing havoc everywhere and, like, just murdering everyone else. So this is where John Cusack runs into Samuel L. Jackson, who must have recorded this movie on a weekend that he was free. It must have been a favor of some kind.
In between his Marvel movies.
Yeah, it must have been, it must have been like, a community service. I don't know. But this is the least acting I've ever seen Samuel L. Jackson do, and I've seen the episode of Saturday Night Live he was on. like the way he was acting, I'm like, he's gonna turn into a villain by the end, because I haven't read the book. And nope, he's just like, I don't know, Clay, what do you think? Oh, go this way? I don't know. Yeah, I saw a bunch of people doing this. And I'm like, oh, he seems shifty. Nope, he was just quote-unquote acting.
Acting poorly.
Basically what's happening is since all this stuff happened in Boston and his wife, who he hasn't seen in like a year and a half or whatever, and his kid, he wants to get to them. So he has to walk because by this point, technology and all this stuff has failed and everyone is acting sort of zombie-ish. If you've ever seen the movie The Signal from like 2005 or something,
yeah,
watch that. don't watch this, because that movie is a better version of this. Because some sort of technology like gets in their brain, and then like they just like in Pontypool, they'll just open their mouth and you'll hear like screeches and like modem noises and stuff. At one point, they come across the girl from The Orphan, the girl that
I didn't see them
from the horror. Well, she's like just in their building. She comes along for a while, and then something bad happens to her. It's just them walking around from point A to point B until like one person goes, "I'm out of here," or one person joins them. Man, I feel like I should be giving this a lower score than I did because I gave it that makes sense. I gave it a 5. I thought I gave it higher than that. But yeah, the notes I wrote was Pontypool meets The Signal, Boston Airport, and the only accent is at the end of the movie. People go crazy, find Clay's wife and son.
The only accent?
The only, because they're in Boston.
And no one has a Boston accent?
No one has a fucking Boston accent. It's
the one accent everyone loves doing.
Until you run into this couple that's in the woods in an RV, and then they give them dynamite. It wasn't an RV, it was an icing truck, I think. And the icing truck is like rigged to blow. He's like, "Here, call this cell phone number when you want it when you're done at the end of the world or whatever." I'm like, "What the fuck?" I think I got a 5. It was not worth the, I think the $2 or $4 I paid for it.
Okay, so the next movie I saw, since we had the movie pass, I went and saw Jumanji.
Jumanji.
Welcome to the Jungle.
We've got fun and games.
So this movie surprised me. I saw the first one earlier this year for the first time. So it was on my list of movies I'm surprised I haven't seen yet. So I watched Jumanji earlier this year. And I'm like, the second one doesn't look amazing. But since I have MoviePass, I'll go see it. Because it looks like a fun movie. The movie stands alone. Like, you could watch this movie without knowing anything about the first one. The plot is new. It's not, like, remaking the first one. It's not a sequel. Like, most movies feel forced as sequels. To me, this movie was better than the first one. It's like, okay, the object, they're in a game. So, okay, let me backwards up. So, these kids, this movie starts off like The Breakfast Club, where you get introduced to all these kids right away, they all get in trouble, and they all have to, like, go to detention. And instead of sitting in a room writing the reason why they're there, they have to clean out this basement of the school or something. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
So, while they're cleaning out, they find a video game system. Like, what is this? Is it like an old Nintendo? They're like, no, it's not a Nintendo. I don't know what this is. The board game morphed into a video game system from 1996 on because no one played board games in the late 90s. So the kid... Oh, it showed the... In 1996, it showed this kid who found the game on a beach. And he puts it in his room. He's like, oh, board games, no one plays these. And then he goes back to his PlayStation playing Twisted Metal. And then it changes while the kid's sleeping. And then he's like, oh, let's play this video game. And then gets sucked into the game. And then cuts to, like, the current time. They find this video game. They plug it in. Like, hey, do you want to play? Okay. And like, oh, these must be the different characters you can play from. And the kid's like, okay, I'm going to play this one. I can't. Ah, pick something else then. Because apparently it's that other kid from the first part of the movie.
Oh.
He's already picked that avatar. So each character is just like, fine, let's play it, da-da-da. And they all get sucked into the game. And then they are in the avatars of, you know, The Rock, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Gillian Jacobs.
Kieran Gillian's.
Kieran Jacobs, you from Community? Yep. Nope. And they're like, oh, we must be in the game, so we have to beat the game. The object of the game is to get to the statue and put this stone into the statue of the jaguar's eye. So the game progresses where they got to find the stone and get to the da, da, da. So it's much like a video game where it starts here, ends here. And then along the way, they find the fifth character, who is played by Nick Jonas. But I don't know. It just, you, like, the characters were getting along, much like Breakfast Club. They start finding things they have in common. They start respecting each other because the one guy is, like, a nerd and the one guy's a jock, and they realize that there's more to them than sports and math, I guess.
sports and math, the two things, and you
won. Well, because it's, you know, the jock guy is like, oh, I care more about, you know, I care about other things other than sports. I don't know. It was just really good. There was a lot of funny moments in the movie that actually I found humorous. They didn't feel as forced as some other movies I've seen. But it was just a all-around fun movie. Don't expect something too complex, but it, I don't know. I don't know what to say other than it surprised me. It was really good. I liked it better than the first one. And, yeah.
According to IMDb, you're not alone. 7.3 for the sequel, 6.9 for the original.
Yeah, I gave this one, I gave Welcome to the Jungle an 8.5. And then earlier this year, I gave the original a 6.5. So that's pretty close.
Now, I don't want to put anything, ideas in your head, but the thumbnail of this, on the top
that looks
of the
like
trailer,
a dick.
Yeah, it looks like a dick coming from a big mess of hair.
And I don't know what that's supposed to be.
I'm guessing it's a foot.
This is the image I have.
This is the first movie.
Oh yeah, that is that. Yeah, because he's shaving his head because because Robin Williams comes out and he's like full beard, so they shave him. So that's the scene where his hair is falling. I thought it was for the new one.
I was like, that
I was like,
is
what the fuck. Yeah, there were a couple dick jokes in this one, but they weren't as bad. Because one of the girls gets into the body of Jack Black.
Yeah.
And she's the super selfie, I gotta take the perfect Instagram photo, blah, blah, blah. There's a part where she's like, I have to go to the bathroom, but I don't know how to do that as a guy. So that was kind of funny. Yeah, and then there's a scene where she gets aroused and she has a boner. So that's kind of funny.
He gets stuck in a chair.
Nope, doesn't get stuck in a chair like Baywatch. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I watched two Rock movies.
Yeah.
And then I also watched two...
in the same month.
Yeah, and then Marissa Tomei watched two of those movies, Spider-Man and Wrestler.
Well, I watched six Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, because it was the whole series.
Yeah.
The next movie I watched, saw with you is Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water.
Guillermo del Toro's newest movie.
So at the beginning of this month, I was pissed because the first week in December, there was a bunch of movies that came out and none of them played out around here. But they eventually got Shape of Water. Eventually got Shape of Water. So like that weekend, we went and saw that instead of Star Wars.
Yeah. We were the only people that... that's not true.
We're the only people who saw this before Star Wars?
Yeah. Because now everyone I know I see is seeing it, and they already saw Star Force like 5 times.
Yeah. So Shape of Water is a love story between... I don't want to say a monster... But he looks like the shit... He looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
He looks like the shit.
So I'll just say a creature... It's kind of like Beauty and the Beast, except Beast is not a human. What is that?
Oh, it's in my papers.
Okay, so this mute woman.
I thought you were saying mutant.
Mute woman works like as a janitor, custodial staff in this scientific
laboratory
lab
thing.
And she meets...
Well, first of all, it's 1950s.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like... Is it 50s? I thought it was 60s. But it's a Cold War era.
It's during Cold War era, yeah.
So it's like it's really like an underground...
Bunker.
So like bunker, like sort of like laboratory, but it's for like weaponizing things to fight the Russians
1963.
With. Yeah, like for the Russians and...
So they find this creature, probably from Black Lagoon, because they're talking about
South Africa,
which I'm pretty sure is where the creature from Black Lagoon takes place. And they find this creature, and they say, we can use this somehow against the Soviets. So they're researching this creature, and she's intrigued by him, and she can't talk. The creature can't talk. So she basically ends up signing and communicating with him, and he learns how to sign and communicate back. She shares her lunch with him and basically becomes a friend, even though every other person's interactions with this creature end not well, because they usually get attacked, or at least tried to be attacked by this creature, because they're, you know,
assholes
trying to show who's the alpha male, kind of thing. So the film, I don't want to get into too much detail about what happens from that point, but it's basically, in the end, a love story between her and this creature.
Yeah.
Plot is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
There's not much depth to the plot. The acting of every single character is phenomenal. There isn't, like, one character that I'm like, that person was all right. But, like, every single character, especially the one scientist guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to give anything away, but there's a point, because he switches dialects and stuff, and it's just amazing, like each dialect. And then
and also
the neighbor, the gay neighbor guy, was really fucking so good. Awesome. The evil villain, who's the guy who captures this creature, he's freaking amazing. She's amazing for, like, not being able to talk. I love movies when characters don't talk and you know what's going on by facial expressions and body movement.
The scientist, his reactions to her reacting to the creature,
right, cause he
was amazing.
Yeah, because he was reacting to her without talking because he didn't want other people to,
like,
see.
Yeah, you could see he was curious, but also like, this is neat.
Yeah, he's like, I understand what's happening, but I don't want other people to know.
But I
this, like, is... it was shot beautifully. The soundtrack was great.
I would say he goes into it more later in the movie, but I love when directors write things into the script that are human things.
Yeah.
Like the villain in the movie, like, I noticed it right away. I'm like, I love this aspect of it, because he always has, like, he always, like, pulls a box of hard candy out and, like, tosses, like, a hard candy in his mouth. It's just like, it's just a thing. And then later he kind of goes into it like a metaphor. Like,
right.
I like this because I do this and this. But, like, but right
then
away,
you can tell when he gets mad at stuff, because he'll just bite onto the hard candy.
But, like, I like the fact that, like, he has a vice. And then her also, like, oh, she's like, she has a regimen that she goes through. Not regimen.
Her morning routine.
Like, she's like, oh, she does this first, then does this. And, like, but she's so adorable and, like, great, because she's like, she, like, I don't know, her personality is just so bubbly, even though she doesn't say anything, and then she, I don't know. The best way to describe this movie, I texted to John, and my friend John, and, like, this is the best way to do an elevator speech for the movie and what I liked about it. I said, I liked it. Knowing it is more of a romance movie going into it is important, but the main actress is awesome, the way things look and were shot is awesome. The plot is a little lacking in obvious points, but the characters actually have depth, which is a great thing. But Guillermo del Toro does that, where he'll make a movie and you go, before this movie started, these people had lives. Like, you, it's not like, oh, here's the movie, and, like, this is me, I'm in the movie now. It's like, it felt like we just popped in one day and went, what are these people doing? Oh, this is their life. Mm-hmm. Because that's, it had that feel.
Yeah.
If there's a world other than what we just saw.
Yeah. I, much like Lady Bird, I gave it an 8.
I had it at 7.5, and I was like, no, I changed it to an 8.
There's definitely, it's definitely a specific audience.
Yeah.
It's definitely not for everyone.
No.
But if you want something that's predictable and fun, yeah. One of the guys at work,
I'll pick it up when it comes on Blu-ray.
One of my friends is like, oh, you saw that Fish Fucker movie? And I'm like, you're not the audience.
Yeah.
If that's what you're calling it, you are not the audience.
Go watch Dunkirk or whatever the
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I gave it an 8.
I like going to movies and having worlds created for me.
Right. That's what the whole point of movies are, is to have something that you can escape to.
Yeah. Like, the movie felt closed in its own, like, world, which, like, but yeah, and also it had a surprising amount of nudity, a lot more nudity in that movie than I thought it was going to.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
And it was, well, I mean, it's Guillermo del Toro, but it was disgusting.
Jesus Christ. There were some parts that, like, not disgusting.
I'll just say bloody, but you know what I'm talking about if you saw the movie. His hand. Oh.
Jesus Christ. That there's still parts that went, and also, like, there's,
I was like, no, don't.
He
don't.
Had,
and like, then it fucking,
yeah,
did it.
See, he's good at, like, because you'll watch a war movie or something like that, and, like, there's, like, people just getting shot to shit, like, okay, yeah, this is the war movie. One person gets, like, like, with a part where, like, he, I think he, like, got, one of the characters got shot or something, like, through the cheek, and then the person grabbed him by the lip and started pulling him, like, that, the way.
Yeah,
like,
he stuck his finger in the hole and pulled him.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, like, that made me cringe so hard. But, yeah, God damn it, he's such a good filmmaker. I like him a lot.
Yeah, so I gave that a name.
I have that many as well. I have two left.
The next movie I saw was a Netflix original movie called Bright. Bright is It's a fish fucker movie. No, it's Will Smith is the main actor. It is a present day fantasy story. The director says that basically D&D and all those fantasy films, like Lord of the Rings, Hobbit, stuff like that, happened, but it happened in the past, because that's what a lot of those feel like, you know, like they happened in the past. Imagine those were real. Mm-hmm. Where would we be today? So now we're in that realm of present day with elves as an upper class, orcs as the minority, humans as, you know, humans, they're everywhere. Human language is number one, and elven language is, like, upper class and all this stuff. So the movie starts where Will Smith and his partner, who's an orc, are basically, Will Smith's standing by his car, just, you know, basically waiting to see if anything's going to happen. The orc is getting sandwiches. And I want to say it was a robbery or something happened. And he went to go try to stop it. He gets shot. And now he is out of shit. What's it called? He's on leave. He's on leave.
The orc or Will Smith?
Will Smith. Because he gets shot in the, I think shot in the chest. So he's on medical leave. And then obviously he's got to do paperwork and shit until he's ready to be out in the world again. So then it picks up to where he's going out on patrol again, and he gets partnered up with the same orc that didn't have his back. So orcs are looked down upon. It's in the police station. Everyone's talking shit about the orcs and, like, how we need to get rid of them and blah, 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 like a racial thing. And Will Smith is, like, feels that way too, since he got betrayed and he got shot. Mm-hmm. And his partner didn't stop him, and the guy who shot him was also an orc, so he feels like he was holding allegiance to that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, so you helped that guy get away, because the guy never got caught.
Oh, okay.
So then there's, like, it's not a buddy cop film, but so then it follows
Forced buddy cop.
Yeah, forced partnership. And they, during one of their patrols, they come across the most dangerous weapon in the world.
Human.
A magic wand.
Oh, okay. It's man.
A magic wand. But only certain people can hold on to it, because it will burn your flesh if you don't have the whatever to use it. But it's one of the most dangerous weapons in the world, because anything you want can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who are like, we can't let other people know about this find. And there becomes a split in the police department. Like, some people want to keep it for themselves. Other people are like, no, we got to turn it over to the right authorities, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And that's where I'm going to leave off on the plot, because I don't want to, like, start spoiling shit. But that's the basic premise of the movie.
Yeah.
It is more of a cop film that just happens to have magical elements. Because I think they even referred to it, like, as a nuclear weapon that is very... Yeah. Like, magic wand is on the equivalent of a nuclear weapon that a person can just have. It's not right. And,
it's not right.
It's not right, Mark. So, I gave it a 6.5. I think it was decent. It wasn't my cup of tea, but if you're... I mean, it's not terrible. Apparently, it's got a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I was saying, it has a 6.5 on IMDb.
Right. So, if you already have Netflix, I mean, I wouldn't get Netflix to watch this movie, but it's not the worst movie. I don't, like I said, it's a cop film that just is in a fantasy world. If that sounds like something you might like, I say check it out. What the worst thing that can happen is that you lost 2 hours of your time. I did not think it was a waste of 2 hours.
1 hour and 57 minutes.
Right, but...
Just kidding.
Loading screen.
Oh, shit.
Just kidding.
Fucking buffering bullshit.
So, I gave it a 6.5. It wasn't horrible. I heard they're already working on a sequel.
Yeah.
So, got enough people watching it that Netflix is like, yeah, let's keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix seems like the ground... for people to be able to make the movies they want, that major movie companies are like, no, we're not going to waste time and money on that. So if this was a major release in the theaters, I don't think it would do that well.
Yeah.
But since it's Netflix and you already have it, what are you going to lose?
Also, I wonder how much of that would have gone down for viewers if it wasn't Will Smith.
Right.
Like, I wonder if it was some nobody.
If it was two nobodies, I shouldn't say two nobodies, because the guy who played an orc apparently is somebody I don't
know. Yeah, he was that like well. In Great Gatsby and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know him that well. But if it was two people who I didn't know, I might have liked it better. It could have been better.
Yeah.
Because Will Smith was playing Will Smith as a cop. he wasn't like...
It's like a prequel to I Am Legend.
Right. This is like...
I've never seen I Am Legend.
So. Yeah, I mean, he's not as jokey as Men in Black. He's more serious, but I don't know. Like I said, 6.5.
The next movie I watched, actually, I've...
Yeah, me too.
Well, no, I saw it with you. The movie I watched earlier in the year, and I didn't... I forgot that I watched it, so I'm just going to...
You watched it again?
No, I watched it earlier in the year, but I forgot to say it. I forgot to talk about it.
Oh, okay. When did you watch it?
Fuck.
You didn't write it down on your list? So
yeah, I forgot about it. And I did watch that. The Ultimate Avengers, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
One of the animated Marvel movies, animated features. It... loosely follows the comic book, The Ultimates.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask, if it was an Ultimates comic.
Yeah, because there's two movies, Ultimate Avengers and Ultimate Avengers 2, the something of the Panther, whatever. But it kind of follows the comics, but kind of it's a generic Avengers story. I remember watching it years ago and thinking they were kind of cool, and then watched it again. I was like, this isn't as good as I remember it being. Captain America, it shows him before the war, gets frozen in ice. Thawed out, joins the Avengers. The Avengers.
So it's got like all the origins.
The Earth gets attacked by the Chitauri. And then the Avengers go after them. So imagine the live action movie, but like 6 years before that happened. also, one of the aspects too is Bruce Banner is kind of a villain. Not, I don't say a villain, but like. Because he turned into the Hulk and ruined a bunch of cities. So, like, they have him on lockdown saying, you can work on stuff, but you fucking can't be the Hulk again. And then at one point, they're like, shit, we need the Hulk. And then it took a lot to take him down after he, like, lost his shit. But, I mean, it's entertaining for a cartoon movie. It's like an hour and 17 minutes, I think. It's entertaining. Nothing amazing. I gave it a 7. That's about all I have for that.
All right. The next movie I saw was Downsizing.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Matt Damon movie.
Matt Damon.
Which, let me hang on 1 second.
Which is a true movie. It happened.
Based in real life.
Based in real life.
No.
We just don't know about it yet. It's what the scientists are hiding from us. This is not a sequel to Get Super Size Me.
So the whole premise of this movie is the scientist finds a way to shrink organic matter to a really small size. Let's say a 5 foot person is now 5 inches tall. The reason the guy created this was because of our economic footprint we're leaving on the planet.
Economic?
Nope.
Ecological?
Ecological footprint. Economics gets fucked up after this. so he finds a way to shrink people
down. Carbon
to,
footprint.
Carbon footprint. There you go. To hopefully save the planet because climate change and overpopulation are real issues.
Not according to Fox News.
Right. So this guy creates this and says, hey, we can shrink people down. Takes up less land. And some people start doing it, but they're afraid of... they do a test group. So there's like the original colony, they called it, where they tested it on a bunch of people to see how it works. I want to say it was in Norway. So they have a test colony. They finally release it to the public after, I don't know how long they've been shrunk, just to show the effects that long-term isn't a problem. So then it like jumps ahead a bunch of years from the creation of it to like where the country is now. And then people start buying up real estate and like creating these, for example, one of the plots of land they turn into is called leisure land. So it's an area with a net over top, and then whole cities and all that shit underneath it, because they put a net over top because of bugs and shit would fuck with you, like kill people probably. So Matt Damon and his wife Kristen Wiig, in the movie, they shrink down. They go to this seminar where they're like doing the spiel and like, oh, this is what can happen. Da, da, da. They go through the paperwork saying your money, your $105,000 of equity and all that shit turns into this amount of millions of dollars there. So you can live in all this shit. And they're like, hey, let's do it. So they shrink down, except she decides she doesn't want to and backs out and it tears their relationship. There's divorce and all this shit. And then...
Does he get a half of his stuff or a tenth of his stuff?
Like a tenth.
Because it sounds sized.
Right. Well, it's half of real money. So then, like... I don't know. He ends up getting fucked over. Because now he has to live in an apartment complex, even though, like, he could have lived in a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he meets his neighbor who loves to party, who's played by Christoph Waltz. And then through him, he meets this other lady who is a maid. So he meets her because she's cleaning his apartment and all this stuff. And you find out about all this other shit that happens. People are getting pissed at the downsized people because they are using less, so they're not spending as much on taxes. So like all these, like their votes shouldn't count as much because they're not paying as much in taxes and da 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 da. Like, I don't know. But overall, it's not really a comedy, even though they label it as a comedy movie. The funny stuff is Matt Damon things that he says. Like, it's a serious movie, but then every once in a while, Matt Damon's like, oh, wow, that's wild. That's wild. Like, that's funny. That's comedy. But it... By the end of the movie, I was getting pretty depressed. and I was not hoping for that kind of thing at the end of a movie. I don't know. Like, some of the characters didn't feel that developed. There was a lot of shit going on. It was an interesting concept and an interesting message they're trying to get across. But I don't know. Aside from some of the shots looking really pretty, I didn't get much out of it. It wasn't a horrible movie. It just wasn't what I was expecting. I gave it a 5.5.
All of him?
So it's better than... Eh? But yeah, I mean, don't go into it thinking you're going to go see a comedy movie. And be ready to be disappointed.
In the world.
Maybe, yeah, in the world. Maybe you'll enjoy it a little more. I don't know. That's my say on it. And then the last movie we saw together...
Star Force!
The Last Jedi. Episode 8.
Episode 8, The Last Frontier.
French Fry. Nope, The Last Jedi.
The Last French Fry.
So, if you've been listening to this podcast...
You just dropped your phone on my foot.
I know, my notes. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I'm not a huge Star Wars person.
Not really a Star Wars person myself.
I've seen them all. They're not amazing, but they don't suck.
I'm not a sci-fi person in general.
Right. So...
It's nothing against...
This movie goddamn has Star gotten Wars people. Very mixed reviews. It's shocking on how mixed they are. Me, I didn't have high expectations because I'm like, it's going to be a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I went in going, it's going to be a Star Wars movie. I liked it.
I liked it more than I thought I was going to.
I liked it more than the last two Star Wars.
Ditto, according to my scores.
My score is the same for this as 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but if you're going to like fractionalize it, I like this one better, but because I gave both of these an 8, but Rogue One I gave below a 5. My biggest downside to the movie was it was a little too long. I feel like some of the scenes could have gotten cut or trimmed down. The characters that we got introduced to in 7, Poe, Finn, Rey, great characters. I loved them in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The introduction to Rose, I thought she was an interesting character.
Yeah.
She didn't, I don't know, like, I don't feel like her character is fully developed.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get more in 9. I don't know. Oh, spoilers, am I supposed to say?
No.
Luke Skywalker, I mean, you know he's going to be in this movie because that's the whole poster. I shouldn't say the whole poster. It's half the poster.
It's a good chunk, yeah.
I liked his character. I thought his character would be what he would be. He's isolated. People complain about his character.
40 years.
Compare him to Obi-Wan. Compare him to Yoda.
Yeah.
Very similar.
It's been 40 years since the first movie came out.
And then once you start feeling like finding out why he exiled himself, makes sense to me.
Yeah, Yoda was a little dick.
what's the fucking guy, Kylo Ren? His character was intriguing.
Yeah,
He was way more complex in this one than the other ones.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna say the twist toward the end of the movie, but
you find out he's a clown.
No, you don't.
He juggles. He makes balloon arrows.
He juggles chainsaws. No, but like I feel like there's more to this character I want to know about.
Yeah.
Where in the first movie, I'm like, who is this fucker? He thinks he's all bad shit, like I'm super cool, blah blah blah. Where
shit.
In this one you're like, okay, I can see where he's coming from. I want to see where he goes.
Where you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Yeah, there was a couple scenes in the movie I could have done without. Some of the humor was like,
there's the Star Wars aspect of it though that right. I don't like.
This was definitely more humor in this one than the other ones. you can definitely feel Disney's grasp on trying to appeal this to all ages by adding weird little creatures that little kids can laugh at. But I will say the Porgs and the Diamond Foxes were better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, they weren't as bad as people were.
Some of the Porgs screaming got annoying to me at some parts. The Diamond Foxes, I was like, what the fuck is the point of this? But it made sense in the movie.
Yeah.
And they did look kind of cool.
Pokemon. Sounded cool.
The salt planet thing.
That was cool.
Visually amazing. I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to spoil, but there was a scene in the movie that I was like, holy shit, that's amazing.
I was actually talking to...
I don't know how to say this. It wasn't amazing, but it, in my opinion, it was the best scene in the entire franchise.
It's a great scene. The scene that was built was good.
Like visually and audibly. It was, I don't know. I think it was a well-crafted scene, and it was by far one of my favorite scenes in a movie in a long time.
It was one of the most.
Yeah, 2.5 hours is way too long for that movie. I feel like you could have almost had like two movies, like one the Rey story and one the other story.
I was gonna say I didn't expect that last battle,
right,
on the salt planet.
Right,
like I felt like okay, we're wrapping up the movie, and all of a sudden, and also we're following you here. I'm like, oh Jesus,
right. But then it wrapped everything up, so it's kind of like, I don't know. It did need to be in a movie on its own, but it also felt like it could have been a two-parter.
In case you don't know what the actual plot of the movie is, can you talk about the plot? After the First Order kind of like did a whole bunch of the shit in Episode 7,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the Rebellion are on the run,
right?
And a bunch of their ships, the Rebellion charter ships. Are leaving, but they're trying to escape from the First Order, and the First Order keeps finding ways to find them, jumping through space,
right?
And they're basically just trying to survive, and the other characters are trying to find ways to fight back.
Yeah, because all of their officers and everything are on this one ship, and the Order is trying to take out that whole ship, and then they win.
Yeah, that basically the resistance is gone.
The resistance is all on defensive measures. And trying to survive.
Yeah.
It, for a movie called Star Wars, it felt like a war.
Yeah, it had the most star-related wars.
Where most of the Star Wars movies take place on planets and stuff, this one, a lot of it took place in space, and people didn't like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the fucking point.
Like, it's too much like Star Trek. Like,
no. It's the first word.
It's a war. I don't know. That was one of the biggest complaints I heard from people. And they're like, there was no plot. I'm like, there was a plot. If this didn't have a plot, Force Awakens didn't have a plot.
Well, I was gonna say, like, and the quote-unquote side mission...
was awesome. I wanted to see more of that.
I was fine with it. And also, people's main complaints about it is, one, that happens in so many movies and so many shows.
Right.
Like this, I don't want to say much about it.
Okay, you can also compare this to, like, even though the plot's not the same, the second original Star Wars movie, where Luke is with Yoda, Rey and Luke, da da da, and then you got the shit going on with Lando and them, and then you say the same thing with that side mission stuff. You know, like, there's a lot of similarities, even though the plots are completely different.
I know. I was going to say, like, also, it felt like just fans in general. I don't say fans. I think the internet in general is just like saying, here's something that's loved. I feel like if I piss people off about it, they'll pay attention to me.
Right. That's most of the internet is like negative reviews get more attention than positive. Yeah.
Not saying that's the case for everyone, but it feels like that is the majority of the case.
But there's also the point that I'm not a diehard Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
So if things get fucked with, it doesn't affect me.
It's like Craig watching The Dark Tower going, it wasn't that bad. And I'm like, you are a fucking liar.
And that's because you never read the books.
Yeah. Yeah, diehard fans. I'm sure that's the same kind of thing. So, I mean, for me to go, I liked it. It's the same, you know, as
right.
any of that. But I looked at my old score. Apparently, I gave the previous one a higher score than I thought.
Yeah, so I gave this an 8, just like number 7.
I gave this an 8. I looked back, I gave 7 an 8.5.
Yeah.
But I think I actually like this one better, but 8 is good. I just, in retrospect, I would probably lower Force Awakens down. But that was one of those things where, like, again...
It was the
first Star Wars back from
yeah after the original trilogy or
from the prequels,
the prequel trilogy. So that was like,
and it was decent, and I didn't get hate it.
It's like when you have a really really bad movie, and then a mediocre movie comes out, it's going to look really good in comparison. Yeah. And now we're going to get a Star Wars from every year until the end of time.
Yep.
So
or until Star Wars,
like I said,
start happening
since they,
like, oh, too soon.
Since George Lucas stopped doing them, this is my favorite one.
yeah, it's probably my favorite one, too.
So,
well,
yeah.
From the last 6 movies.
Okay, so for December 2017, the worst movie I saw this month was Santa Claus, the movie, with a 5.
Oh, shit, where's my list? Right.
Was your worst...
My worst was Cell with a 5.
And then my favorite movies this month were The Wrestler with 8.5 and Jumanji 2 with 8.5.
My favorite of the month was an 8.5 as well, but Lady Bird.
Yeah, so that's the last month.
That's the last month of December 2017.
And then we'll see you in the year in review.
Yeah, we're going to have podcast. We're going to have like the last 3 years. This is the fourth one. We're going to have the year in review.
We're going to talk about the movies we saw all year.
And then also what's coming up for you folks in 2018.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So, yeah, the usual stuff. Stuffbyscott@gmail.com. If you want to leave comments, questions, requests, concerns. Did you like Star Wars? Did you like the Fish Fucker movie? all that stuff. At stuffbyscott@gmail.com.
Yeah, if there's stuff that you want us to watch in 2018.
Yeah.
And since we have the movie pass, maybe movies that are coming out that are brand new that you want us to see that we might not see.
Yeah. If you're like, hey, I want to see your take on this movie. I go, all right.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, this movie comes out in March. You going to go see it? You should see it. I want to see what you think of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right.
And
other than that,
that's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.